Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
Welcome to the Wired to Hunt podcast, your home for deer hunting news, stories, and strategies. And now, your host, Mark Kenyon.
Welcome to the Wired to Hunt podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kenyon, and this is episode number 320. And today on the show, we are here for another Rut Fresh radio episode in which we're getting you intel from across the country on the latest deer activity, conditions that are impacting deer, and the tactics that are working right now. All right, welcome to another episode of the Wired to Hunt podcast brought to you by Onyx. And we've got another one of our weekly Rut Fresh radio episodes with myself and Spencer Newharth, in which we are talking about and hearing from a variety of hunters on the progress of the whitetail rut, on current deer activity, on how current conditions are impacting deer activity, and then what the heck we can be doing as hunters to try to fill a tag over the next 7 days. That is what we're doing here today. Spencer is the man, the myth, the legend, who's chatting with all these hunters and getting that intel. What do we got this week, Spencer? Do we have something to look forward to?
Yeah, it's exciting, but it's also kind of sad because I think these next couple episodes are going to be like the end of sort of the rut talk in our Rut Fresh radio series. We're now at the end of November. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. And, you know, once you get beyond that, like those first 5 to 10 days of November, you still get that second burst of like secondary rut. And then that's kind of it if you are a deer hunter. And Mark, you actually had some success last year hunting that secondary rut, right?
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, I'd heard about a lot over the previous years. I'd heard people talk about the fact that, yes, you can get this quote unquote second rut, but I'd never seen it. Basically, the gist of what happens is that typically there'll be in a healthy deer population where you have fawns that are healthy, well-fed, and on track with the maturity, you'll get some fawns that reach sexual maturity by about 1 month after the rest of the deer come into heat. So if, let's say, the peak of rutting activity for a lot of folks across the Midwest is, you know, you're seeing that activity in early November, give or take, well, then about a month later, you might get some of these healthy fawns, female fawns, coming into estrus early December. And that doesn't happen a ton. It doesn't happen nearly as consistently as you'll see, obviously, in November. But it is something that people do see on occasion, and that if you are keeping an eye out for it, you can take advantage of it. So that's what happened for me last year. I wasn't counting on anything like this to happen, but I was hunting that big buck, Frank. You probably remember that 10-pointer I was hunting in Michigan. And I was hoping he'd made it through gun season, so I was frequently glassing this property from this hillside. I've got this great view of things that I'm always using. And I went out there one morning and was able to get an eye on this buck on the morning of, I think it was December 6th or December 7th, somewhere right in that ballpark. I saw him out there locked on a doe. And I saw other bucks circling around him, and they were trying to come in. He was running them off. And you could just see, he even sparred with another buck for a little bit. You could just tell there was a hot doe. Like it looked like it was November 5th, but it was December 6th or 7th or whatever. So I saw that activity happening. I said, okay, I know what's going on. We just had a doe coming into heat. The second rut kind of situation is going on. I'm going to play this exactly as if it was November 7th. So I watched that buck follow that doe, watched the exact route he took, watched to see which bedding area they went into. And then I went and that afternoon made a move to get right back in between that route I saw them take, because, you know, there's no guarantees, but lots of times when you've got a buck locked on a doe, that doe is going to, A, they're going to stay in a relatively small area, and B, they're going to follow usually a similar circuit. That doe is going to go from the little bedding area to a little food source to a little bedding area, and that buck's going to want to keep her close and keep her from going to a lot of places. So I thought, hey, there's about as good a chance as any that they're going to come back out to this little green field. And I got set up in a blind I had right along that route and kind of swung for the fences. It was a wind direction that I would normally never hunt this spot, but I kind of knew this is a special opportunity. Gotta try. And I did it, and it worked out. That doe came out right towards last light, and the big boy was right behind her and got a crack at her. So that was a great example of why it pays to still be out there and paying attention here in early December. I'm not saying exactly that's going to happen, but I certainly will continue to keep an eye out for that kind of thing in the future. And if I see it again, you better believe I'm going to get after it. So yeah, second rut can certainly keep things interesting this time of year.
Right, and you sort of touched on it at the beginning, but this is like one of those things in deer hunting that is often talked about more than it is experienced or seen, because it certainly does exist, but there's just less people in the woods at this time, and it's probably like a more localized thing. With that said, though,
absolutely,
I think if there is a year to experience a secondary rut, that this is going to be it. And I say that this is completely anecdotal, but thinking back to when peak rutting would be taking place in most of the Midwest, like 2 weeks ago, a lot of the areas still had a ton of standing corn. And if you're a bow hunter, you know, you know this, that standing corn can like really put a damper on your sightings in early and mid November, because those deer will hang out in the standing corn. You just don't know about it. And I think that would potentially leave some does get unbred. I think another part of the standing corn thing is that in a lot of states, it's still up right now, and that probably saved some bucks during gun season as well. So you're coming into early December with more does that were unbred during the regular rut because of standing corn, and you're coming into early December with more bucks that weren't killed by hunters because of standing corn. And that's completely anecdotal, but that's something that would make me optimistic if I was trying to kill a buck in these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I definitely think that standing corn for a lot of people probably will have an impact. I'm certainly hoping that one that you mentioned on the in regards to just more bucks making it through. I think that's the case in a lot of places. So the corn on one of my Michigan farms just came down last week. I guess we talked about that last week on Rut Fresh Radio. As we were recording it, I think the night before the corn had started to come down, and then over the next day and a half it came all the way down. So I know a few bucks that I was after, including the one buck I'm really after. He made it through the opening weekend, at least, of gun season, maybe in part because that corn was up all around. So yeah, I think things are lining up for a good December, especially if you have good food in your area. Now, this is an interesting counterpoint to what you're saying. As we know, as you get into December in the late season, food is so, so important to focusing where deer are, because food becomes increasingly more rare of a commodity, right? As crops have gone out, natural vegetation is losing some of its quality and nutrition. So if you have a food plot, if you have a cornfield or a soybean field or whatever it might be, oftentimes that's going to be where deer are at. But this year, a lot of farmers didn't get crops in. There was a lot more fallow fields this year than I've ever seen before, at least in my area, and hearing from other folks across the country. So I'm also thinking there's going to be some people, it's going to be feast or famine, I guess. If you've got the food, it's probably going to be better than ever, because there's going to be less food elsewhere, so they're going to be focused on yours. If you don't have the food because of, you know, the wet spring and farmers not being able to get stuff in, you might suffer. So it's going to be interesting to hear what kind of reports we get over the next month because of that.
Yeah, and besides our reports this week, you're going to hear from Kevin Vistason in Michigan from the Deer Hunter podcast. And then from Wild Carrot Deer Attracted in Tennessee, we talked to Josh Smith and then Tim Beeble in Vermont from the Four Pointer. And then we talked to Bryce Lamley in Nebraska.
Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any more whitetail hunts coming up on your schedule?
I've got one last hunt coming up here, whitetail buck hunt. I have like a B tag in Montana, which will allow me to shoot an antlerless whitetail, but I don't really count that. But next week in December, I'm going to be heading to Nebraska, hunting some public land, and I'll be in an area where there is a mixture of mule deer and whitetail, and the tag is good for both. And it is an opportunistic freezer filling hunt. So it will be a whitetail hunt slash mule deer hunt. And it'll be in some cool country.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I know we talked in the past. I was hoping to go on that trip and it didn't end up working out my schedule. So I will be watching from afar and rooting you on. So bring back a good story for us next week, would you?
I'll do that. All right, we'll talk to you next week, Mark.
Thanks, Mezzer.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. Pay attention here because this is a hell of a good service. It's called the Wellness Company. Picture this, okay? You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, you're all congested, you got a runny nose, you got a cough, whatever. And you weigh your options like you tough it out, get sick, take time off work, try to get a doctor's appointment sometime in the next few months, wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of six sick folks, or you open your medical emergency kit. You match your symptoms to the doctor recommended prescription and you start on the right meds right away. These medical emergency kits, not a first aid kit, all right? It comes with doctor prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. So, on hand, strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in there. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/meateater, but you got to use the promo code meateater. That's promo code meateater, okay, at twc.health/meateater.
All right, and joining us on the line first is Kevin Vistason in Michigan from the Deer Hunter podcast. Now, Kevin, in Michigan, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
1 to 10, I'm going to go right down the middle and say 5, but I'm also going to add to that that even though I'm saying 5, your chances for killing a good deer, specifically an older age class buck, I would say are about as high as they would be all year. I'm going to go 9 or 10. I love the late part of November into early December.
Expand on that a little bit for me. Why do you prefer this time of year to find a mature buck?
I think part of it, pressure dictates most things that whitetails do here in the state of Michigan. Our gun opener being on November 15th, these deer that have made it through a couple gun seasons figure out real quick that what's going on and they get pinned down real hard. And from the trail cameras that I've ran over the course of the last 5-6 years, I just see this window around Thanksgiving, big deer on their feet in daylight. And I think it has to do with the fact that they recognize people go hard the first couple days of gun season, maybe the first week. And a lot of people have either gotten their deer and are out of the woods, or really have just lost motivation to go out deer hunting in the woods. Gets emptied out pretty quickly, and I think the deer recognize that, and I think there's still good opportunity for deer to do breeding through the later part of November, and I just absolutely love this time of year.
So what is your strategy then for, say, this Thanksgiving weekend when you're trying to find one of these mature bucks on their feet?
It's time in the stand. It really, that's what it comes down to. There's no real magic recipe. It's very spontaneous from what I said. A lot of this comes from, like I said, hard data from running cameras and seeing deer on their feet, big deer in daylight. And there's really no rhyme or reason or way to predict it, if it's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and what time of the day. So my strategy is just seat time. And if the weather provides and it doesn't chase you out of the woods, it's a beautiful time to be sitting out there. And I think that's what it really comes down to, is just putting the hours in at this point. And a lot of people really, myself included, struggle after the opener gun season to find the ambition to do that, I think.
This coming weekend then, are you going to be hunting traditional rut setups like pinch points at funnels, or do you have a different strategy for late November?
Tight cover, heavy stem count. You know, I'm avoiding anything open fields, open timber. The deer have definitely been concentrated into secure bedding. That's the one other great thing about this time of year, is that bigger deer specifically that have made it through a couple gun seasons know the safe places to go. They know places that people haven't been hunting over the course of the last 6 weeks. And if you can scout and find those places, or if you know those places from years past, those deer are pinched into those places, and it makes it relatively easy to find a congregation of deer, and that's where they will be. I will be hunting heavy cover bedding, food sources, acorns are still there's I can't believe how many acorns there were on the ground this year and still are. I think there's going to be a lot of acorns that are going to return to soil here over the course of the winter and spring. I don't think the deer are going to be able to even eat them over the course of the winter. There's so many of them still on the ground.
Besides acorns, are there any other food sources that hunters should be looking for in late November?
Big woods, natural browse, cuts. I like those cuts that are, you know, 2 to 3 years old. The cuts that are a year old, the deer definitely, they prefer those. So they get hit the heaviest through the early part of the fall. The cuts that are 2 to 3 years old, the new growth doesn't have as much dense nutrition, and the deer will leave those for last. So if you can find a cut that was done, you know, 2, 3, even 4 years ago, there's still going to be good food for them there. And as far as agricultural goes, obviously corn stubble that's left on the ground. I've really never had any success hunting over beans, dry beans here in the state of Michigan. They're gold when they're green, but brown beans here in the state, I think that most deer know it's a recipe for disaster for them to step out in those during daylight, so I avoid that.
When you get this little burst in movement around Thanksgiving, do you also notice some fresh sign being made?
I'll say that for whatever reason, rubs in the bedding areas stay hot and maybe even accelerate a little bit. And I think part of that might be these deer that are pushed into these areas are a little frustrated that they don't feel safe traveling outside of them. And they lay a lot of sign down. Like I said, these deer get pushed into safe areas and they get congregated into tight spaces. And it could be just that these bucks are in close proximity to each other. But yeah, I see scrapes pretty much get abandoned, but a ton of rubs. And that is really, really what I'm focusing on this time of year. If I can find good dense cover with some fresh heavy rubs, is a good indicator to me that there is, bucks that are actively using that cover.
going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Michigan?
I think it's probably going to stay right around the 5 or the 6 as far as activity goes, daylight activity. These deer will still be doing a lot of, a lot of their breeding, and they're running around under the cover of darkness. But I feel that there's still a very good percentage of chance that if you're willing to put the time in the seat, that this time of year, even more so than, peak rut around the middle of November, is your best chance to capitalize on putting a good deer down. So, I guess I struggle to answer that. The actual physical deer activity that you're going to see is going to be relatively low. Like I said, maybe a 5 or 6, but the chances of seeing a good deer are about as high as they get, a 9 or 10.
All right, Kevin, awesome info. Good luck this weekend, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Spencer.
All right, and joining us on the line next is Josh Smith in Tennessee from Wild Carrant Deer Jacket. Now, Josh, in Tennessee, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think we're on a 7 out of 10. We are just kind of warming up for peak rut. Mature bucks are starting to fall. Some of my family members have been real successful over this past weekend. I think that activity would be a little higher, but we've had a little bit of unseasonably warm temperatures. We've been in the low 60s, which is, I think, putting a little bit of a damper on things, but rut activity is picking up pretty good. So I'm looking forward to spending some more time in the woods this week.
So would you normally expect to be seeing some post-rut activity right now?
No, I think we're on par as far as our usual schedule. We get pretty hot right before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's a little late this year, so I think we're right on schedule. We're pretty darn close to it. I think that it's just a little warm, and whether or not there's any truth to it, I prefer to be out when it's cold. I think activity's a little better when it's cold and deer are up and moving a little better.
Tennessee's gun opener happened about a week ago now. What is your strategy when you're playing off of that gun pressure going into this weekend?
Honestly, I like to do a little still hunting. I think, when pressure's high, people are kicking stuff up, and I don't like to sit still too awful much. I like to be on the move a little bit. I stick to ridges and kind of just cruise those ridges where I expect traffic to be, like saddles. anywhere I can find a good saddle on the map, I'm looking for that and trying to see if I can be successful hunting that as a funnel.
Are there any food sources this time of year that you key in Tennessee?
Yeah, we had a pretty good mast crop this year, so still quite a bit of acorns on the ground. So that's kind of an unchanging thing for me. Not a lot of ag where I'm hunting here, so acorns are key, and I'm still paying attention to those pretty well.
As a scent company, I assume that you have a strategy for using urine in late November. What's your strategy this time of year?
I'm obviously using doe estrus, and I like to use our rut and buck as well. With this rut activity, we're seeing a little bit of scrape action still, and quite a bit of rubbing going on right now too. And I like to set up my mock scrapes, and visit those when I'm doing my still hunt. And I'll use a doe estrus. I use it as a drag as well when I'm stand hunting, but more just as a scrape tool when I'm still hunting.
You said you're seeing some fresh sign. Does that mean that most of your cameras are still on scrapes?
Yeah, they are. We like to run them, and we check them frequently. And when activity starts to taper a little bit, we'll move into traffic areas instead of scrapes. But right now, they're sticking tight to scrapes.
Do you follow the moon phases at all this time of year?
I do. Tonight, actually, we've got a new moon. So I'm thinking activity is going to be good. I've always hunted the moon, just kind of as a growing up that way. It's part of what we do.
You said that you've been seeing a lot more mature buck movement lately, but does that mean you're seeing some midday movement as well?
Yeah, quite a bit of midday movement. Some of the nicer bucks that I've seen being taken lately have been in the middle of the day. They're up cruising for does or chasing does. Time isn't really a factor when it comes to that. When the rut's starting to peak, it's best to be out there as long as you can.
going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Tennessee?
I think it's probably going to stick to 7 or 8. I think that the rut will probably slow down a little bit, but I think we have a cold front coming in. Temperatures are going to drop from 60s to 40s, so I'm looking forward to that, and I think activity will stay steady. We'll have quite a bit of movement, and I'm looking forward to being in the woods.
All right, Josh, I like your optimism. Good luck this weekend, and thanks for joining me.
I appreciate it, Spencer. Thank you.
All right, and joining us on the line next is Tim Beeble in Vermont from the Four Pointer. Now, Tim, in Vermont, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to give it a 6 to a 7 right now. I think I've definitely seen some chasing. Bucks are with does or looking for them. They're past the time of year when they're really scraping hard and wandering around. But right now, I'm pretty sure they're with does. Peak breeding in Vermont is always in right around the 24th. So that is the phase that we're in right now.
Are there any specific food sources that hunters should be focused on right now?
Yeah, my answer to that is the hunters need to know what food source is in there. I've been sitting near oaks. I was out yesterday morning after a fresh snowfall, and the deer were already into the oaks, digging under the trees, so in the leaves for the oaks, the acorns. So me, it's oaks. That's where it is. That's where they're feeding right now. So that's where I'm spending most of my time. And that's also a lot of the oaks where I'm at are also in travel corridors where I would expect to see deer wandering throughout the day. So that's kind of a win-win. If you can find a travel corridor with a food source, that's where I'd be spending my time.
You mentioned that this is historically right around the date of peak rut. What is your strategy then during peak rut and then that lockdown period?
Well, around here, I mean, probably a lot of areas, but I think the biggest factor into being a successful hunter is being able to put in a good amount of time. A lot of areas around Vermont are very sparse with their deer numbers. Other areas are pretty populated, but where I'm at a lot of time, it's pretty sparse. So I've just got to put in time, and a lot of hunters do. It's a perseverance game. You just got to be there. So, again, I'm focused on the travel corridors where there are some food sources where I know the does are going to be coming through. And in the past, the times that I've been successful, there's been a buck on the heels of a doe. And so that's my suggestion right there.
Gun openers in the Northeast have been open for a little while now. What is your strategy when you're trying to plan for some of that gun hunting pressure?
Yeah. Gun hunting pressure is pretty intense the first, week or two, especially on the first weekends. Then midweek, it pretty much dies down, and then we'll have a little bit more intense pressure here around Thanksgiving, and then Vermont's gun season ends actually right after Thanksgiving. So anytime there's pressure in the area, if I'm hunting a smaller woodlot and I know there's pressure, I just try to get into position ahead of the guy that's coming in later, and I try to stay there as long as I can, because those guys are going to get antsy around 8:30, 9 o'clock and go for a walk. And if you can put yourself in a position where, again, a place where deer are going to travel or they're going to try to escape to get away from pressure, it's a perfect spot to set up an ambush of deer that's trying to get away.
When we get a fresh snow this time of year in like that first week of December, does that change anything for you in New Hampshire and Vermont?
No, other than, if I have a chance, I'm gonna make a quick loop, a hike, and to see if where the deer are spending their time has changed or relocated a little bit. A lot of areas, they're thick, so 100 yards can make all the difference. And they'll bounce around from oaks to oaks. So if there's a fresh snowfall, I usually take a half hour or something and do a quick loop and just see where the fresh sign is and relocate to those areas if I need to.
Going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Vermont?
I think it's going to lower down a little bit. I'm going to go down to 4 or 5. It's still a good chance. Like I said, peak breeding, we're just barely past it. So there's still going to be some bucks out there looking for some does. So it's not like it's just going to shut right off, but we are going to tail down here. And then when we get into Vermont, does have you know, a late muzzleloader season that starts in 2 weeks from now, more or less. I've had good luck in that early season, I mean that late season with muzzleloaders, where the buck activity has picked up. They've gotten more responsive to calling again. And I've even seen them, you know, out cruising looking for does late. About that time, it just starts to come back around. You see a little bit of that, what you would see in like late October, early November. It does come back around again in early December, but just not quite as intense. So, it's going to die down here, but it's going to pick back up slightly before it all comes to an end eventually.
All right, Tim. Well, good luck with what's left of your fall. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Spencer. Appreciate it.
All right, and joining us on the line next in Nebraska is Bryce Lamley. Now, Bryce, in Nebraska, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, for most of the guys I talk to and my own personal experiences, it's been about a 6 for the last week and a half or so.
So what phase of the rut would you say that most of Nebraska is in right now?
I would say that we're in lockdown, and you know that term gets overused a lot, I think, when people aren't seeing deer, but I haven't seen many bucks at all trolling and just walk through the timber looking for other does. Does seem also non-existent as well, or else very skittish. It just seems to me like the bucks are off in other locales, and a little bit of feast or famine, which always goes along with this time of year. And I think, at least for me and most of my buddies, this year it's been kind of a famine the last week or two.
So when you say that we're in lockdown, what is your strategy then to get a buck during lockdown?
Well, boy, I had to miss out on a day like that just a couple days ago. We had a rain in the evening, and then the next day it was windy. And boy, that makes it perfect, in my opinion, to try something off the wall. And that might be to go to some cover that you might normally think is better pheasant cover, perhaps. Weedy areas that are way away from the main areas that the deer bed in, perhaps. I hunt along the Platte River Valley, and, you know, so most of my hunting is either in the bluff or right on the river bottom in the heavier timber, and that's where the deer usually bed. But I do think during the rut that those bucks will try to pin down those does far away from the normal areas where they run into other deer, so they have less competition. And those places are really off the wall locations that don't jump out at you right away. And I'm still learning. I'm kind of on a couple new properties now that I've been spending time because I know there's some bucks there, and I'm still trying to learn where those spots are. They're hard to find. I think they also sometimes mean maybe giving up a hunt or two to try to glass from long range to find out what they're doing and where they're doing it.
As we get into post-rut here around Thanksgiving, what is going to be your strategy then?
It just seems to me that a lot of the deer, especially the does, are going to return more to their feeding patterns. The bucks are still looking for them. And I, honestly, in the past several years, any indication, I've had as good a luck in late November and really early December as I do late October and early November. And so a lot of times what I'll try to do is get in kind of that area between the bedding and the feeding like you normally would, but also using the wind, keeping the wind in mind where it seems like maybe on the north edge of a timber with a south wind, those bucks might cruise that north edge trying to pick up does that are heading out to feed. And so I kind of return to that strategy a little bit. I personally like that time of year better than the middle of November. Maybe that's just my own preferences, or maybe it's my own shortcomings about middle of November. But guys shouldn't give it up just yet. I think that some of the best stuff is still to come.
A lot of the country is getting some snow here over these next couple of days. As somebody who hunts from the ground a lot, how does that change things for you?
Well, for me, I think it actually opens up a couple of new options. One, hunting from the ground with snow camouflage for some, or like Optifade 2 from Sitka is a great snow camo as well. Deer look right through that a lot of times. And so I do think it gives you opportunities to hunt places where you normally haven't been able to hunt, perhaps. And that also includes the second part of that is skinny trees on cloudy days. You can get by with those same camouflages I just mentioned, and trees couldn't get by with on other days, especially when there wasn't snow cover. And so I do think it maybe gives you some options in areas that you have overlooked before or just said you couldn't do it.
You mentioned before that during post-rut, you'd look for does returning to food sources. What are those food sources that you're focused on this time of year?
In Nebraska, where I hunt, it's mostly corn and beans. It does seem like beans, you know, they kind of go out of favor for a while. It seems like this time of year, beans kind of come back into favor. Now, around here, most of the beans are harvested and so forth, but if anybody's got standing beans, I think that's your number one magnet. And then standing corn, of course, is a second, because you've got the extra cover it also provides, I think.
Going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Nebraska?
Well, I'm kind of optimistic because it seems like I always see a bump in that type of activity, and that includes reopening some scrapes and stuff like that. And so I'm going to say an 8 for the next couple of weeks.
All right, Bryce, well, good luck. Thanks for joining me.
Yep, you appreciate it. Thank you, Spencer.
And that concludes this week's episode of Rut Fresh Radio. Thanks to Kevin, Josh, Tim, and Bryce for joining me, and thank you guys for listening. I hope everybody has a chance to get out here and hunt over the holidays.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.